Yeah! Good morning. Yeah, sharpen that shovel. You might want to sharpen that snow shovel, too. Hey, Larry, how you doing?
My snow shovel is broken.
Oh, that's right. You had a little problem with that. Snapped in half, didn't it?
Well, this handle finally got it. It's only 30 years old. However, I do know some people, and I can get my driveway shoveled. All it'll cost me is a rack of ribs.
There you go. That's a pretty good deal.
You really? Smoked rib.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's what I'm going to be doing tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Watching the snow come down.
I can find my firewood.
Well, it looks like we got about anywhere from 2 to possibly 4 inches will be falling anywhere between Bartlesville to Caney to Coffeyville to Independence and parts in between.
Cool.
Anyway. Cold.
What can you do in the garden to get prepared for that? It's not going to be that cold.
That's
true. It's going to be in the 30s. It's not going to really be that bad of a deal.
Yeah.
So it probably won't even stick too much to the streets, really. So
somewhere between 31 to 38 or something like that.
Yeah. So it's I wouldn't.
I'm not going to get too worried.
Worry about your plants or things. It'll be all right. However, if it does get down into the single digits, yes.
Ooh.
But what can you do?
Yeah.
First of all, if there's cold weather coming to your plants, first of all, make sure they're well watered.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with my digging in the ground this week, the ground is wet enough to where if it did get really extraordinarily cold, it won't be too much of an impact on your plants.
You did a lot of digging.
You always do.
Oh, man. I know you do. He can dig it, folks.
Everything from digging to fixing, you bet. Yeah, it's fun when you get a phone call. Larry, the fan burned out in the greenhouse. Oh, no.
Be right there.
When that happens... you got all that inventory. You got to make sure all your heaters are working.
So you've seen fire and you've seen rain this weekend.
It's been a week. Yeah, you bet. Anyway, now's a good time to plant trees in the landscape. Inventory is in pretty good shape right now. We do have a good selection of 5 and 7 gallon trees.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from Acers to Taxodiums to Ginkgos to golly Brucinidias to, all that.
Yeah, and then some.
And a Gymnocladus or two.
Ooh,
you need some of those, yeah. The Gymnocladus is the Kentucky coffee tree.
There you go.
And we do have a couple of prime-looking male species.
Mm-hmm.
So you really want the males because they don't have those little pods that hang down. Mm-hmm. They're dioecious, you know,
mm-hmm.
male and female, and they're legume.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually native. I see them growing all over the roadsides everywhere. So,
oh, really?
So they can tolerate, yeah.
Nice.
So, they're
going to grow well. They're going to do well in our soil.
We have two of them in 5 gallons.
Okay.
We also have a good selection of saucer magnolias, too.
Mm-hmm.
The Magnolia Soulangiana. And a Stellata or two. Ooh. Mm-hmm. So, so we've got some magnolia species as well. And we've really sold the teddy bear magnolias this year. They've done very well. Teddy bear is a kind of a semi-dwarf variety of the evergreen Magnolia Soulangiana. And it's quite nice. This is one you can plant fairly close to the house.
You can get away with that.
And still get the piano in the front door. So it's a good tree. And golly, we planted a lot of those in town, too. They're really, really kind of petite magnolias, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And they get that physiology by genetics, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a tendency to have the node fairly close together. A node is a juncture on a branch where the leaves come out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you note on that teddy bear, those nodes are specifically closer together than the regular magnolia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you get dwarfism on some plants, magnolias mm-hmm. especially. So anyway, the magnolia is a very tolerant plant species, somewhat shallow-rooted, but tolerant of our conditions here.
Yeah.
Conditions meaning just... the worst soil in the country. and shallow soil, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
But because they are shallow-rooted, you don't want to trim them up from the ground up. You want to let those lower branches stay on it.
Let them thrive.
And think of, a blue spruce or dwarf arborvitae spruce mm-hmm. or some kind of species like that where you really want something close to the ground.
There you go.
And this one is something you still want to be very close to the ground. Because magnolias have a habit of dropping debris on the ground.
Gotcha.
In the wintertime, mm-hmm. in the spring, in the summer, And every time in between, almost every day they drop something on the ground. So
litter bugs.
They're trashy. But really, the blooms are so nice, and they smell so nice too. And the advantage of the teddy bear is the blooms are at, you don't have to climb up a ladder.
No, you don't.
They're at eye level, so they're not so tall. Yeah. So we've got a good variety of trees right now. We got a color?
No.
Oh, no? Okay, cool. Anyway, so we also have some elm trees. Uh-huh. And when I go to people's house, they have this area where they want something that's difficult to grow. It might be the worst soil in town. I said, you need to grow a Chinese elm. And they go, oh, no, I don't want Dutch elm disease. No.
No.
That's in the past. There's no longer a problem with the elms, especially the Chinese elms.
Okay.
The Ulmus parvifolias. If you get some of those, or varieties there too, or thereof, rather, they are highly resistant to disease.
Good.
So they would be a good choice for a medium. The Chinese elm is kind of a medium-sized tree. It gets up maybe 30, 40 feet tall. And about as wide, and very tolerant to the conditions. Even when it's really hot outside, the leaves have this glossy green look to them. And as they age, the bark develops this kind of mottled look, sort of a camouflage, a camo look.
A camo, baby.
A camo, yeah. So it'll give you a pattern on which you can paint your Jeep. Anyway. And they go through a period. When they're young, they have kind of a rough bark. And as they age and mature, that rough bark sloughs off. And we do get some phone calls from people concerned about their elm tree, the bark falling off their elm tree. I said, well, that's just natural. When they reach a certain age, certain things kind of fall off. And that is the outer bark. And then it develops a real kind of a smooth layer of bark on it. Really kind of attractive in the wintertime. So don't be afraid of elm trees. We got plenty of those. We have some good oaks, too. There are northern red oaks, a good one. We have a few of those. And I don't really particularly care too much for pin oaks. But
yeah, they can be troublesome.
Well, they're shallow-rooted.
Yeah, they are.
They tend to get anthracnose and things. And we have some northern reds and some Schumards in good shape, too, and a couple of water oaks. Mm-hmm. So we've got some of those, too. Maples. Mm-hmm. You remember the fall color? We got some. They don't have any fall color now.
No. Kind of like sticks.
And probably one of the people's favorite trees are the Chinese pistache.
Yeah.
We have some of the male varieties, which are kind of like the Kentucky coffee tree. They're a bit more desirable. Than they don't have the berries and whatnot, flowers and things that the females have. They're not as messy.
Mm-hmm. Which, the one at your house looks good.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't have any flowers on it. It's kind of opposite humans. Males are usually messy, and the females are the tiny ones.
Yeah, I know.
But that's the opposite with trees.
Okay.
Bald sapperts is a good one to have also. Red buds, et cetera, et cetera. We even have some chionanthus, so you might consider getting one of those, too. They have white flowers on them, fragrant white flowers in the spring. They're not very well known, but they're a very disease-resistant tree. I can't think of the common name of it, but the chionanthus is a good one to have also. So anyway, but if you don't see if you don't like what we have, we can get you something else.
You bet. You can
get it too, more than likely.
You got connections.
Don't really have any of the hybrid pears.
No.
They've kind of run out of vogue, but actually there are some good hybrid pears out there.
There are?
The red spire pear is a good one to have. Yeah. It's more narrow and upright growing than, say, the big Bradford pears back from the 80s. We couldn't get enough of them. I think we had like 300 feet of them, and we'd sell them all.
Wow, that's moving.
The USDA came up with that one. But it is somewhat disease resistant until it gets older.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some parallels to that, so you don't want to discount the species altogether.
True.
The red spire pear is a good one. Capital pear is kind of narrow and upright, and there's the White House pear, and aristocrat pear is pretty close to the Radford pear. It lasts a little bit longer than the Radford pear, but still has a tendency to break up when we have some windy stuff. So,
we don't have any wind here in Oklahoma.
We don't have any wind at all. So
no.
Anyway. So those are the capitals. The red spires are probably one of the better ones. And the fall color is good on them, too, and you can't beat the flowers in the spring. And the insect and disease resistance is a good quality of these particular trees. So don't discount them altogether. The one tree, though, you might want to steer clear of course, is the Austrian pine. And the primary reason for that is our soil here is specifically deficient in a lot of trace elements. Then the Austrian pine has a tendency to get a fungal infection. So we don't really carry those. We try to steer people clear of those. And right now we're selling a lot more loblolly pines. And the loblolly pines, they'll grow in the terrible soil in Georgia, too. But there are some in town that are just beautiful, and there's some that are just scraggly as all get out. So it just really depends on how they're cared for, really. So,
the human touch.
Yes. So, but anyway, the loblolly pine is a good screening plant, and it grows very quickly. It is subjected to ice damage, but because of its rate of growth, it recovers rather nicely. I would steer clear of slash pine. It's just a little slash pine. It's a very fast-growing pine tree, but golly, they can freeze out here. So it's probably not the best one to get.
No.
As far as pines are concerned.
We're going to take a quick break, Larry, and we'll be back with more of our Green Country Gardener program in just a moment. Don't forget, you can always call in with your questions or comments at 1-800-749-5936. We'll be right back after this 95-second timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. We have 24-hour service, so if you get a piece of equipment from United Rentals and it breaks down on you, one of two things is going to happen. We're going to have somebody out there relatively quickly that's either going to get the machine up and running, or they're going to say, hey, this is catastrophic. We need to go get another piece of equipment. We're up here on the southeast corner of Highway 60 and 75, 3801 Nowata Road, United Rentals, 918-333-9580.
Happy Honda Days, Highway 75 South, Honda of Bartlesville. Really good time of year to buy a car, Josh. End of the year, it's the holiday season, and you guys have some things discounted and ready to go.
That's right, Evan. Happy Honda Days is a great time of the year. Honda has some good specials on every model, 2020s especially.
And you guys are trying to get rid of some of those 2020s on the lot, 2021s. Of course, they're arriving daily, and they've got some specials attached to them, too.
Oh, definitely. You can get good interest rate on the 2021s, and there's some dealer discounts available on all of them.
And here at Honda Bartlesville, the price that you see in the car is the price you're going to pay.
That's right. And it doesn't matter whether you trade, finance, pay cash, don't have a trade. It doesn't matter. What you see is the price you pay.
Evan Farbach, Josh Matney, Happy Honda Days, Highway 75 South in Bartlesville. Honda of Bartlesville year-end clearance event. Josh, thanks.
Thank you.
Bartlesville Honda is a proud supporter of the Bartlesville Band and Orchestra.
Thank you for starting your day with K1 Morning News.
Today is gonna be a good day.
I love listening to your broadcast. I've always listened to you. You guys are awesome.
And I just wanted to say I'm so happy you have found your show.
Today is gonna be a good day.
K1, AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
A good day.
And online at BartlesvilleRadio.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardening Program. And our phone lines are open at 1-749-5936. I'm Tom Davis. He's Larry Glass. He's also our expert. And Larry, what do we have next? We were talking trees a little bit ago.
Oh, yes, trees. Stuff we got at the nursery on sale. We have ceramic pots. Time to grab some pots for 30% off. I know it's not the right time of year, but it's a good time to grab a bargain and then 30% off. Spring's not that far. What, 3 months away? What?
If that, around here.
Yeah, what?
It'll snow twice and then it's spring.
Yes, right. We got November, January, February, 3 months. So, yeah, in February, typically spring kind of begins. So people will be thinking about what to put in their pots and everything. So now you can grab some pots, some ceramic pots for the bargain. These are the good German-made ones, too.
They're,
so they hold up out in the cold. So, anyway, bromeliads. Got those on sale, too. Bromeliads are members of the pineapple family.
There you go.
And these are noted for their blooming qualities.
Gotcha.
Rather striking in the landscape. They're easy to grow. Just don't overwater them. but nonetheless, they do pretty well. Mm-hmm. They do like a whole lot of sun. They do very well out on the patio somewhere in one of these between the ceramic pots and bromeliads. Golly, 20% and 30%. That's 50%. You know, no, it doesn't add that way, but nonetheless.
Gotcha.
And fiddle leaf figs, we have some of those.
Okay.
Fiddle leaf fig is a very good house plant. It's a fairly large leaf, and as the name implies, the leaf looks kind of like a big old fiddle.
Okay.
And they're very, the leaves are very rigid. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of like cardboard, if you will.
So it's got some texture, you're saying there.
But they're green, and they make a really good plant. Unlike a lot of fig, like the Ficus benjamina, when you bring it in there, it doesn't lose half its leaves when you bring it in the house.
There you go.
So they're really good plants. They can tolerate a wide variety of lighting conditions in the house. And because the leaf is fairly large, it has a lot of area in which it can absorb light, so it can take a bit of shade too. So a pretty cool plant, fiddle leaf fig. And of course, 5 and 7 gallon trees are 30% off. Mm-hmm. And you can now grab a flat of pansies for $10 off. They're $9.99 rather than $19. Mm-hmm. We don't have very many of the pansies left. Fortunately, we really sold out of truckload after truckload of pansies this year, so we're quite pleased with that.
You know?
So it's been a good year as far as pansy sales are concerned and so on, but we do have a few.
Mm-hmm.
If you forgot and the in-laws are coming over.
Anyway,
the pansies, it's kind of a little late to plant them maybe. If it doesn't get too cold, they should make it just fine in the spring, really make a presence.
Mm-hmm.
But if it gets really, really cold, you might lose them. But, oh well, they're half price, so... You could put them in your 30% off ceramic pots.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, they do very well in containers in the winter. I usually have some out on the patio
containers
all winter long. Mm-hmm. I do nothing. I don't even water them. Don't do anything to them. They're blooming right now. They're beautiful. And
You're kind of lucky that way, Larry. He knows what he's doing.
That's probably because I don't water them too much.
He doesn't do it. I'm going to ignore you. The plant says, yeah, well, I'll show you.
I'll show you, yeah. Anyway, and they're really quite showy. You look out the back window. Well,
I bet they are after you've ignored them. Yeah. They're just showing off to beat the man.
I haven't even fertilized them anything. They're doing great. So.
Maybe talk about low maintenance, folks.
Maybe I'll treat them for Christmas. Here you go, here's a fertilizer. Bloom already.
There you go.
No, but actually in the spring, they'll just pop out again, even in the containers.
Mm-hmm.
And they put on a really, really nice show until about the 1st of June. Uh-huh. Then it gets too hot for them. So anyway, so pansies are a good fall and winter and early spring plant around here. Do quite well in the off season, if you will. And I sort of like to put in my landscape designs room for some annual cutter like that, some pansies, and maybe some perennials that color up to the different seasons, and perhaps some that'll even attract butterflies and hummingbirds and whatnot too.
You
got to make room for all that stuff too. They're kind of fun to watch.
They are. They really are. Our backyard looks like a zoo. You got all that good stuff.
I was at somebody's house. looking at their fence, they had an issue with the fence and kind of wanted some suggestions for screening, perhaps. And I said, "Oh, look, you have a praying mantis egg case on your fence. What's that? That little trilobite looking thing on the fence? That's a praying mantis egg case. And praying mantis is something you definitely want because they eat up a lot of aphids and things. And
yes, they do.
Insects and whatnot. They do a really good battle with spiders, too. They're quite a...
I mean, they look a little... If
extraterrestrial.
They look really E.T., out of this world. And if you don't go, bug, just let that one go. It'll take care of the other. Bugs.
So. I had one in the backyard, a fairly large one, too.
Yeah. Well, and they get, about 4 or 5 inches long at the...
Yeah, they get pretty good size. Yeah. And I sent the picture to my daughter. She was very impressed with this praying mantis. So they're really interesting insects. And they are insectivores, if you will. They live off other species. I'm trying to find the picture to show you.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, they'll take a spider down in no time.
Exactly, a spider. And hope they don't get too big because they'll do more than that.
But their dating process is a little rough because...
oh my goodness, yeah.
You know, when the female finds a male, they do their thing and she bites their head off.
Yes, I'm done with you, buddy. You're lunch.
You're decapitated, yeah.
So anyway, the praying mantis is a kind of like ladybugs. They're beneficial insects. So if you happen to see this odd-looking brown case that looks a bit like if you're familiar with trilobites, mm-hmm. they kind of like it. It's a praying mantis egg. There he is, right there. See, look at that guy.
It's there already.
The insect from Mars.
Yeah, I mean. It looks like it is. Very otherworldly looking.
Yeah, so anyway, they're kind of fun to have.
Don't worry, folks, if you don't have a color set, you're not
I remember
anything.
When my daughter was really young, uh-huh. we had some egg cases in the backyard, mm-hmm. and I would let them sprout out. And we had a lot of little praying mantis bugs, and when she was just a little tight, we'd get on our hands and knees and play with the praying mantis. She's really thrilled. So that brings back some memories when I send it to her over the text. There's one. Yeah, so cool. Look at it. So anyway. Enough of that. Most shrubs can be planted right now also.
They can.
Yeah, so boxwoods, dwarf yopons and things like that. We're just planting them left and right now. Getting those in the ground so they can be planted right now. The Nandinas will do okay, but you do anticipate losing most of the leaves the first year they're planted.
Very good.
In the wintertime, mm-hmm. they'll come back up, so don't worry about that. So that's kind of the disadvantage of planting landscapes in the fall and the winter is they do tend to defoliate a little bit. Well, sometimes rather significantly. And, you know, I'm like, why did I plant that? So see, look at that little critter.
Boy, I tell you what, looks like a feller from Mars. Skinny body, great big arms, got those serrated hands. And they got the eyes that are twice the size of its head and some antennas.
What a great reason for a monster movie or something.
Yeah, no kidding.
but they're pretty good insects. So that gets kind of planning your landscape. Now's a good time to think about that. You have all winter time to make some decisions mm-hmm. on what to do in your landscape. And we can help you with that. We do a mm-hmm. scale drawing, and actually, I send a lot of them out over the email.
Mm-hmm.
I do the drawing and send screenshots and whatnot, and cost estimates. So just get your email address, and that saves a lot of trouble with having to meet mm-hmm. again to present it. Yeah. It's kind of a preliminary, if you will.
Gotcha.
So I'd like to do that too. People can really see that. And you can see up big on the screen, not some little bitty print, but you mm-hmm. can actually zoom in on these things and see what they look like. So that's kind of fun. So we do landscape plans like that.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener here in just a moment with Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis, and we will take this two-minute timeout.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of poinsettias in all sizes and colors. Now's the time to get fresh-cut greenery to decorate the outside of your home, and for inside, pick up a Christmas cactus or two. Green Thumb has just about everything for the hard-to-shop-for gardener. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday, noon to 5 Sunday. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the water.
Employee pricing is on at Patriot Buick GMC in Bartlesville.
Get employee pricing on 2020 GMC Sierra trucks, Terrain, Acadia, Canyon, and Yukons. 2020 Buick Encores, Enclave, and the all-new Envision. You pay what we pay and not a cent more. You pay what we pay and not a cent more. That's up to 25% off our entire lot of Buick and GMC inventory.
Patriot GMC in Bartlesville has new GMC Terrain starting at only $24,900 or just $269 per month.
$269 per month.
2020 Buick Encores priced as low as $18,900.
Or just $199 per month.
Or just $199 per month. Get employee pricing on all Buick and GMC inventory. You pay what we pay and not a cent more. Patriot Buick GMC in Bartlesville.
Patriot GMC. It just feels right.
Terrain stock number 2472, MSRP 31865. Encore stock number 2335, MSRP 25135. 84 months with 20% down at 3.49 APR with approved credit.
There's not much we can do about the weather.
You're as cold as ice.
But we can tell you where, when, and what to expect from it.
Cold as ice.
From road conditions to business and school closing, it's the kind of information you can trust.
It's so cold.
several times during each hour, which is pretty cool.
I feel as though I'm out in the
cold. On K1, AM 1400, FM 93.3, K1, the one you trust. Alrighty, we are back with the Green Country Gardener Program. Your phone calls are welcome at 1-800-749-5936. Larry was sharing with me his photographs from hanging up the Christmas lights, and he showed me his pansies.
Yeah,
they're in really
showy.
Good bloom, yeah, for ignoring them, you know.
Just totally ignoring. They get enough water from all the rain we've been having, now the snow, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, moles and gophers.
Ah, yes.
Moles and gophers are considered rodents, but there are some definite differences. Ooh.
Yeah.
Moles get about 6 inches long and are gray to black in color.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a very slender, hairless snout.
Yeah.
And are inconspicuous eyes and ears.
I mean, they don't need them for much.
I guess they don't look at the evening news or anything else. So they probably don't. Yeah. And they probably don't like music that much either. But anyway, their front feet are large and have long claws, like troll-like claws on them, mm-hmm. which they use for tunneling. The mole tunnels are the ones that produce ridges on the soil surface, and they dig lateral tunnels to the surface, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, they can kind of tear up your yard.
Yeah, they can, and boy, they're quite obvious about it too.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not slick at all.
I went to somebody's house, and while we were talking in the backyard, we were both stomping them down. We have a caller?
Yeah, we do. Hi, welcome. You're on the Green Country Gardener Program. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
I've got a cherry tree. It's about 6 foot tall and 1 inch in diameter, and a buck. Strip the bark about a foot off the ground.
Ooh.
I was wondering what the best way to try to save that tree.
Is the bark stripped all the way around the tree?
It's all the way around the tree, about a foot high.
Ooh, that's not good.
Should I cut it off near the ground or cut it off below where the bark's gone? Or
I would just cut it just below the bark and maybe it'll send out a branch. A lot of times those trees are grafted. And you really You really don't want the subgraft, because they won't have any desirable characteristics. You do want the above graft to do.
Does it make any difference how I make the cut, straight across or slanted?
Yeah, I would go a little bit slanted maybe. And I would in the future perhaps put a tree wrap on it if you have a problem with deer like that. And that would help.
Yeah, I took a bucket and made a tree wrap grid. Mm-hmm. I had plastic tubing on them last year, but they kind of outgrew them.
Oh, yeah, that it will, huh? What works pretty well is woven polypropylene weed mat. We sell it at the nursery. It's pretty tough stuff. And
buy that somewhere. I haven't seen any at Orsland or anywhere.
Any what?
I haven't seen it at Orsland or Applewood.
Okay.
Where do you get it at?
We have some at the nursery.
Green Thumb Nursery here in Bronzeville.
Yeah, we also have some synthetic tree wrap, which swells with the tree also. But I like the woven polypropylene. It's what we use for weed mat, really. And you'll have to maybe put it on with a zip tie, and then every spring you want to let it grow a little bit, and then rewrap it for the winter, perhaps. But if you do have a perennial problem like that, you might want to consider shielding it like that. And the polypropylene has good UV resistance, so it'll last a long time.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you for your call. Appreciate it, as always. And once again, our number is 1-800-749-5936.
Okay, cool. Anyway, we're talking about moles and gophers, and they're a bit
gophers.
Of
gophers.
Huh?
Gophers.
Gophers?
Gophers.
I'm the gopher.
Gopher.
I do all kinds of gophering. Anyway, the mole tunnels are the ones that... Anyway, the moles eat slugs and earthworms and grubworms and other small insects. I don't know if they'll really find the praying mantis appetizing, but the praying mantis might eat it. I don't know.
From the looks of things.
And damage to plants can occur if tunneling through the roots, but moles really don't prefer to eat plants. They're not herbivores.
No.
But they do kind of cause these little bumps in the yard. There
Nasty.
Are several ways to deter them.
Dynamite?
Concrete.
No. Oh, okay.
Concrete and artificial turf. No, actually, that's not the way to do it. But we have some repellents.
Okay.
They tend to dislike a whole lot the castor oil. And I think we might still have some granular castor oil form that you can put on the ground. And as you water it, the castor oil goes into the ground, and it irritates their little nose, so they tend to go away.
There you go.
And there's the some people swear by these little things that are solar powered that hum and buzz and all that. They don't like the sound.
Drives them crazy.
Yeah, really. So, I was at the house, and I heard, zzz. What was that? And the neighbor had one of those things. Cool. So anyway, that's one way to do it. I've had good luck with them just by keeping the yard well fertilized.
Yeah.
They don't seem to like that fertilizer, apparently.
No.
So, and really, I really haven't had any mold damage at all for 2 years. I've been using the Milorganite and urea-based fertilizer, and it seems to keep them away.
That's good.
So, just a mold repellent will work. You can try all different kinds of things. Some people use the noisemakers. They swear by them. Mold traps is the only definite way to get rid of them. Typically, you have a whole network of tunnels in the yard, but that's still just the result of one mole. They're highly territorial. Yes.
Nasty little things.
So they tend to like their territory, if you will. Mm-hmm. So they will, I guess they have a fight and try to scare each other. Well, I don't know how that works, but nonetheless, they are somewhat territorial. So anyway, so we sell everything from traps to these vibrating contraptions and supposed to scare the little guys off, but every customer seems to have a different experience with the moles. So
they're ugly as sin, man. When they come up out of the ground, they are ugly as sin.
That praying mantis looks better than those.
No
moles.
Kidding.
Yeah, too, anyway. So, unfortunately, trial and error seems to be the best way to control them for most people.
Got it.
Because I guess some of the moles know about the little noisemakers. They just go right through them. And I guess the little worms you can put in the ground, too, and they eat those. It's a poison worm. We don't have any right now, but they can kind of repel them, too. So, anyway, that leads us into poinsettias.
Yes, right in time for the holidays.
A little bit more seasonable. We talked about them last week, so we'll talk about them a little bit more this week. So everybody kind of knows. So poinsettias are easy to care for, quote, houseplants, end quote, in their native country down in Mexico. They can become somewhat leggy, bushes, not really attractive, up to 10 feet tall.
Mm.
So they can get fairly good size. They really like it kind of dry.
They do. Well, they're from Mexico, right?
Exactly. Okay. They're acclimated. Their root system is acclimated. Mm-hmm. Their physiology. They are euphorbias. Euphorbia placerima is the genus and species, the euphorbs. And typically the euphorbs are characterized by milky white sap that comes out.
Gotcha.
When you break the stem. Mm-hmm. And there are some weeds that do that here, too. Mm-hmm. The spurge is a euphorb. You break it, and a little white sap comes out. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of characteristic of euphorbia plants.
Okay.
There's cactus, too. They're kind of hiding as a cactus plant. But they're
really
a euphorb. And you break them, and this white Elmer's glue comes out of them.
Can't kill till they bleed.
Right. I guess so, yes. But anyway. So, and that's on the euphorbia species, it's crown of thorns is another houseplant.
Mm-hmm.
That's related to poinsettias, too.
Gotcha.
It's a euphorbia also. It's a very broad spectrum genus of plants. So, this happens to be one that has extraordinarily good color to them. So, anyway, they make pretty good houseplants. But anyway, you want to keep them slightly moist, but be sure it is well-drained. And give good medium to high light to south or west window. Avoid sudden temperature changes.
They don't like the
something
drastic change.
That's close to equatorial. They don't really like rapid change. They can't tolerate it. They tend to defoliate a little bit. And keep it away from the HVAC vents and doorways, if you will. And by following these steps, you can keep your poinsettia looking pretty well past Christmas throughout the winter. So anyway, just keep them away from the heating vents and the cold windows. If you have a sunroom, they ought to do real well. They'll adapt real well to that.
I bet they will.
The climate tends to be a little bit more constant in something like that. That's not doesn't have a furnace that kicks on. It gets 80 degrees and it turns off. It gets 65 and 80, 60 all the time. It tends to be a little bit more constant in a semi-heated mm-hmm. room like that. And they have a very slow metabolism when it's really cold, too. So don't expect them to grow a whole lot in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. Okay, and in the spring, they do tend to grow. You can cut them back. You let all the milky sap mess up the carpet. and they will bush out and be a nice, attractive little plant. Some people even plant them out in the yard. They make pretty good yard plants, if you will. So anyway, poinsettias, easy to grow, very attractive right now. At this point in time, today is, December the 12th. The flowers should be opening or open at this point in time and the proper development. So if you find some that have open flowers on them, good. If you find some that have closed flowers on them, that's gooder.
because it'll be really nice come Christmas Eve, Christmas Day.
The attractiveness will last a lot longer if the flowers aren't quite open yet. And that varies. The opening time depends on the variety, too. There's mm-hmm. the variations in varieties and also. Mm-hmm. We do have, of course, the red ones and some variegated ones. And some that are pure, even brighter than this paper.
Wow.
Like a 97 or 102 paper. If you're familiar with its colors of the mm-hmm. paper that have these different numbers assigned to them. Mm-hmm. And it's just a bright, bright white. They're smaller plants, so they don't get so big. So, but anyway, they look like a very well-cleaned sheet as they go out the front door.
So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back here in just a moment with the Green Country Gardener Program. It's 844, and we'll take this 2-minute, 5-second timeout.
Watches and warnings.
Snow and frigid temperatures.
We'll see close to an inch an hour.
Very messy commute.
Complete whiteout.
School closures.
And when the cold and snow does arrive,
back to seasonal weather,
back to snow,
you can depend on the right information.
We're going to get a lot more snow.
So cold, put your head down.
On your severe weather station,
snowpocalypse,
K1.
We're going to have an epic winter.
The one you trust.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of poinsettias in all sizes and colors. Now's the time to get fresh-cut greenery to decorate the outside of your home, and for inside, pick up a Christmas cactus or two. Green Thumb has just about everything for the hard-to-shop-for gardener. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday, noon to 5 Sunday. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the water road. Want to know why Christmas shopping is always great at Peters True Value? Because Peters has fantastic bargains of the month, like Master Mechanic 100-piece screwdriver and bit set for $24.99, saving you $10. Check out the Weber grills on sale at Peters. The Weber Spirit 2 for $379. The Weber Spirit S315 for $599. And the Weber Smokefire X4 wood-fired pellet grill for $799, savings of $200. Head to Peters True Value in Dewey, where Christmas shopping saves you money.
When you want to know.
We're to the point now where we know.
When you need to know.
Please know. We all know.
When you have to know.
The American people know.
People want to know how this happened.
You can be in the know on K1, the one you trust.
You probably know what's going on.
At the top and bottom of the hour. And when it happens.
They know.
You'll be glad to know.
You know what happened.
I need to know.
Be in the know.
We need to know this stuff
now.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
But you never know.
On K1, 1400 and 93.3.
Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. A little bit of a weather note. We do have a chance for some snow in the area, Kansas, Oklahoma, right around here. We're looking anywhere from 2 to maybe 3 inches, depending on where you are. And keep it real close to your radio. We'll give you all the updates. Here's hoping it just kind of misses us, but I don't think it will. I kind of took a look at the trajectory of the front and everything. We're going to get something. It's just a matter of how much something we're going to get. It's 8:47. Back to our program, and here's Larry Glass. What do you got for us, Larry?
We were talking about the poinsettia.
Yes.
And the poinsettias have been called the lobster flower and the flame leaf flower as well.
They're
not all people call them poinsettias. Mm-hmm. Poinsettias are not poisonous.
They're not. No, so they're the not. Cat's going to be safe.
A study at the Ohio State University showed that a 50-pound child who ate 500 bracts might have a slight tummy ache.
Okay.
So if you're your 50-pound child, however, what, 5 years mm-hmm. old, 10 years old, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that looks good. I think I'll eat that. He won't die. No.
No.
They're all right. A fresh poinsettia is one which has little or no yellow pollen is showing on the flower clusters in the center of the bracts. We talked about that earlier. That's a good thing. Poinsettias represent over 85% of the potted plant sales in the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. I guess the other 15% is Christmas cactus.
Okay.
90% of all poinsettias are exported from the United States.
They are.
You bet. And poinsettias were introduced into the United States in 1825 by Joel. Guess what his last name was?
Poinsettia?
Poinsett.
Poinsett, okay.
Where did he get the idiots? I don't know.
Make it sound scientific.
The poinsettias are commercially grown in all 50 states, even Rhode Island.
Even Rhode Island?
And California is the top poinsettia producing state.
Huh.
December the 12th, which is today,
yeah.
is National Poinsettia Day.
Okay. Celebrate wisely.
So we need to have a poinsettia parade, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I think we'll see a few tonight. And
the Paul Ecke Ranch in California grows over 80% of poinsettias in the United States for the wholesale market.
Wow.
In other words, when we grow the poinsettias, we get these little starts in September.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're grown up. And the Paul Ecke Ranch is the primary over 80% of that they produce.
Mm.
So 90% of all flowering poinsettias in the world got their start at the Paul Ecke Ranch.
There you go.
This guy really likes poinsettias. So.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. There are over 100 varieties of poinsettias available.
Did not know that till
from
right
that
now.
Paper white to purples. There's one we had last year, which was this. You couldn't look at it. It was so bright. It was this fluorescent orange color.
Really?
It looked like a construction sign or something. You know? So bright.
That's unusual.
I don't think we have any this year. We don't have any this year, but anyway. over $220 million worth of poinsettias are sold during the holiday season, mm-hmm. which is good to know. 74% of Americans still prefer the red poinsettias, and 8% prefer white, and 6% prefer pink poinsettias.
Pink poinsettias.
There's one variety called Jingle Bells, which is a variegated, and there are other parallels to that, which are pretty cool. The model, the different colors on them.
Okay.
They're kind of pretty, too. They're a little sparkly flowers mm-hmm. on them. Kind of nice. 80% of poinsettias are purchased by women, and 80% of people who purchase the poinsettias are 40 or older.
Mm-hmm.
So, poinsettias are the best-selling pot ever in the United States. So more any potted plant, that's the one that sells mm-hmm. the most. And they're the most popular Christmas plant, and 60 million pots of poinsettias were grown way back in 1997. So that's probably 120 million grown right now at this point. And the cost of a poinsettia is determined by the number of blooms.
Gotcha.
We have a 1 ppp, 2 ppp, and 3 ppp. That's plants per pot.
Okay.
And the density dictates that. And also, you want to get one that's got a good shape all the way around. You look at it from the top, it should be fairly symmetrical. Should be about twice as high as the pot is wide. Lift it up, it should be not too heavy, not too light. It should be kind of a feel like it's got some moisture in it. Put mm-hmm. your finger in the soil, make sure it's been water properly. Look at the soil and the pot, and there shouldn't be a gap between the soil and the edge of the pot. That means it's too dry, or it's been kept a little too dry. So it takes a lot of care and, yeah, believe me, a lot of natural gas to keep these poinsettias really healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you got to climb up into the greenhouse and fix the fans just to keep them healthy.
Larry's been talking about his fan. It caught a little bit on fire yesterday yeah. at the greenhouse. He had to go put it out.
Yeah, it just melted in the middle. I
yeah.
I guess it happens. I don't know. It's, It's a,
had no
a
plants were harmed. Larry's hands got hot.
It had a had a meltdown, I guess.
It had a meltdown. There you go.
So, anyway, that's always fun, climbing way up 16 feet in the air, reaching way over to fix this thing. But anyway, we got it going, so everything's going to be fine.
Got some oven mitts.
Fortunately, there was just enough sunshine to where the greenhouses were able to maintain their temperature without any heat.
That's a good thing.
So even though it wasn't very sunny, there's still enough infrared that, that those greenhouses trap. It's interesting how that works.
A greenhouse effect.
One time it was 3 degrees below zero, and we had and it was sunny, and we were throwing away the heat in the greenhouse. It seemed kind of like, why are we doing it? Why can't we store this up? But you know, one of those when you open the door, and pow, it hits you, and the humidity comes out, big clouded. Steam comes out. It was that cold. But the sun was shining, and they trap enough heat, and they're insulated well enough. There's there are two layers of plastic, and it's kept inflated with these fans that keep it inflated. And that's like 12 inches of insulation. And really, they're self-heating when the sun's shining. But when it isn't, though, man.
Oh, different story, brother.
You bet.
We're going to take this break. We're going to be right back after this 2-minute, 5-second timeout.
In 1930, Frank Phillips received a very special gift from some very dear friends. During a ceremony surrounded by 1,500 guests, Frank was adopted into the Osage tribe by Chief Fred Lookout and given the name of Eagle Chief by the Osage. This marked the first time that the Osage had ever adopted a white person into their tribe. Chief Lookout gave the newest Osage chief the gift of a pony, a saddle, and a single eagle feather. The saddle had been in Lookout's family for over 100 years. Frank Phillips received a telegram from a famous man and dear friend saying, "Sorry I can't make it. The Osage were always the smartest Indians in America. There are 120 million white men, and they pick out the best one to make an Osage chief. Best regards to all Osages, including Frank, from the renegade Cherokee, Will Rogers." That kind of magic still happens every day at Willow Rock. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
What do you do if you really need a better vehicle, but you have bad credit? Come talk with your friends at Roman's Chevrolet Buick in Independence. Roman's not only has the ability, but also the desire to get anyone approved for a vehicle. They are your one-stop shop. They'll buy your old vehicle, help you find a great ride, and now help with financing, no matter how bad your credit is. Get more details from Roman's Chevrolet Buick, 2313 West Main in Independence. Roman's, with financing for everyone.
There's not much we can do about the weather.
You're as cold as ice.
But we can tell you where, when, and what to expect from it.
Cold, 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 cold as ice.
From road conditions to business and school closing, it's the kind of information you can trust.
It's so cold.
Several times during each hour, which is pretty cool.
I feel so out in the cold.
On K1 AM 1400 FM 93.3, K1, the one you trust.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. Phone lines open at 1-800-749-5936. Been talking a little poinsettia action here as we get into the holiday season.
Exactly. And that brings us up into Mughal pines.
Okay.
The Mughal pine is a dwarf pine tree. Mm-hmm. They can get up to 8 feet tall. The generic, just Mughal pine itself, gets a pretty good size. And there are some smaller growing ones. We carry one called the Slow Mound.
Okay.
Mughal pine. That's the name implies it grows slow.
Incrementally.
There's another one called the shrubby Swiss mountain pine, which is kind of nice too.
Yeah.
But these are all Mughal species. Mm-hmm. And it makes a good specimen in the landscape. I like to associate it with boulders and rocks and things too. And it does nicely with like little dwarf nandinas and barberries and whatnot in the landscape. And what I like about this is it looks the same all year round. And it's a good textural and color difference in the landscape, too. So you might want to work in some Mughal pines into the landscape. They're easy to grow, take the drought very well. They don't like wet feet, though.
They don't.
If you lose the Mughal pines because it's had too much water.
Mm.
So they really like a well-drained area. And we have several different varieties of the Mughal pine. But keep in mind the particular variety, they get different sizes. Mm-hmm. The slow mound can get about mm-hmm. a foot and a half, 2 feet tall.
Gotcha.
But the, the other one.
That one?
Yeah, the shrubby Swiss mountain pine mm-hmm. can get up to 3 feet tall. Mm-hmm. And just the stock Mughal pine gets up to 8 feet tall. So they can get fairly good size depending on the variety. So you want to be very, very careful which one you choose when mm-hmm. you do your landscape design and all that too. Mm-hmm. And we can help you out on that also.
That's good.
And there are other members of the pine family you can put in there. There's the Tanyosho pine, which so many people plant in way too close to the house. They can get about 10 to 12 feet tall. So you want to give them lots of room. A good specimen interest plant. But they tend to get a bit oversized for most people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... Anyway, if you're out and around, come by the nursery and see what we have. We got all kinds of gift ideas. The wind chimes are coming a little bit late this year. We're kind of disappointed in that. They haven't arrived yet.
Yeah, usually you get some early shoppers for those.
Typically, we do sell those really well in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. I guess they'll be here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. Heaven knows we have enough wind in Oklahoma. So we can get those there. We all have all kinds of gift ideas. Pottery's on sale. Mm-hmm. A few other things, the pansies are on sale, and a few other things are on sale. Come by and check it out. Gift certificates are a great idea for your gardening friends. Mm-hmm. And we have those in easily in denominations of $1,000 at least. No, any amount, you know. There's no limit on how
much. I'm just going to go with it, man.
And they never expire. Some people bring some gift certificates that are 10 years old, and we still honor them.
That's nice.
So, yeah, no expiration date. They don't devalue. And golly, whenever you're doing any of your gardening outside, make sure you keep that shovel sharp. We will see you next week.